time for the best coverage of the top stories in sports. The Sports Wrap with Jason Page starts now.
On a Tuesday, great to have you with us on an overbooked Tuesday, dare I say. Got a lot to get to. Poker Pro, World Poker Hall of Famer Maria Ho will drop by the show. She's part of the broadcast team for the World Series of Poker and the Final Table, which gets started on Tuesday night. Two-night event, final nine. Nobody will leave with less than $1 million, by the way, from that final table in a record-breaking World Series of Poker in terms of number of entries. I think the winner gets $10 million. Wow. I have said I'm making this known. We'll bring in Sam Yarnow right now because he'll appreciate this. So I can now announce this officially because we signed the lease yesterday. I am moving to Las Vegas. That is official. Husband and I are relocating to Las Vegas from Palm Springs, where I've lived for the last 6 years. He's been here with me the last couple. Moving to Las Vegas. I have made it my goal next year to play in my first World Series of Poker event. So stay tuned. Next year, yours truly, you will see me at the World Series of Poker. I'm not saying I'm playing like the main event because that's a 10 grand entry fee, but I am planning to play in the World Series of Poker next year. So Maria Ho is going to join us on the show. We'll talk with her. She's part of the team with Lon McCarron and Norman Chad on the Poker Go and CBS Sports broadcasts. We'll get some thoughts with her on the final nine, who she likes, who she doesn't. And when is a woman going to finally win the World Series of Poker main event? There aren't a lot of women playing poker at the highest levels. I want to get her thoughts on that as well. She's made over $5 million in live poker earnings. She's done all right for herself. So we'll get her thoughts on that. Kurt Heelan will drop by, talk some NBA, off-season, USA, Australia, the USA defense not looking so good. And then we'll get into it with our man David Ardzuma, who will join us coming up in 10 minutes. A couple of segments with him. His mid-season awards for the AL and NL. But here's Sam, who's waiting so patiently. Look at that patient face, Sam Yarnell. What'd you think of the home run derby last night?
I was impressed, Jason. I mean, Teoscar Hernandez showing us what it takes to win this new era of home run derby, right? Look at the two finalists, Teoscar and Bobby Witt. And the new style really speaks more to, it's not just about who's the biggest guy who can hit the home runs the farthest. It's about who can keep that swing consistent all 40 pitches, mm-hmm. and then stay obviously alive and go on somewhat of a tear in the bonus round. I love the new format. I am here for it. I am all about it. I think that they've finally gotten it right with kind of this hybrid between the pre-2015 and the post-2015. It was a very exciting night. I was happy with the length. I was happy with the participants. And obviously the outcome, obviously very good. Hope you bet on Teoscar, by the way. 12-1 before the Derby started to win it all.
Wow. He was kind of a dark horse, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm just going back and watching all these videos. It's crazy to me that so many righties participated in this year's home run derby, right? Why? We had 1.5 lefties, right? Gunnar Henderson and then Jose Ramirez, who I was also surprised that Jose Ramirez did the entire derby just from the left side. I thought he was going to switch up maybe in the middle. I saw there were numbers that came crashing down on him switching up in the middle. There was an odds on him to hit a home run from both the right and the left side that opened at plus 750, and I think it closed at like plus 250. So a very interesting dynamic with that park there in Arlington, Texas, to see all of these righties just continue to mash the ball. And what was the longest one we saw yesterday? It was in the 470s. I want to say it was 478, something like that. Really just impressive home run hitting from these guys, Jason, in a park that I don't think all of us thought was this conducive to the long ball.
Give me some thoughts on the All-Star game, Sam. I mean, we've got American League +1.5 at -205. Tons of juice there. -1.5 for the National League at +168 on the money line, +100 for the NL and the AL at -118. Your total is 7.5. You got any betting advice for an All-Star game? Is there any such thing?
No, if you're trying to bet on anything in the All-Star game besides doing it to have fun, I don't know what you're doing. It's all a toss-up. The best play is probably the under, right? Just because I know it's a low total, but the pitching is probably better than the hitting.
MVP?
That's the only, like, real lean, like, solid lean I'd have. For all the fun stuff, just bet Paul Skeens overs. Velocity of first pitch, over. Strikeouts, over. I'll take them all.
MVP? No?
No.
Nothing?
No, they're not going to give MVP to a pitcher, Jason.
No, I'm not pitcher... saying, I'm saying, do you have an MVP pick?
Oh. See, that's the thing. You always got to look for a dark horse, right? Like, I was even looking at the market that is just to hit a home run in the game. And, like, you got to look to the dark horses in these kinds of events. Like, I would go Ellie De La Cruz, who at last look was, like, 8-1 to hit a home run in this game. I think that's probably a good look. But, yeah, I don't know, All-Star Game MVP. Like, that's such a toss-up. Who knows? Who cares?
Can I tell you what's nuts? Willie Castro is an All-Star. Willie Castro is an All-Star.
Yeah, everyone's got to have one.
Oh, but I mean, playing for a good Twins team. Willie Castro is an All-Star. It's just wild to think of.
Who else did the Twins send?
And you know what's really cool about the Willie Castro thing? He was supposed to be a big prospect for the Tigers. And he had a spring training like 2 or 3 years ago that was great. And everybody was like, Willie Castro. And everybody was on Willie Castro. And then he just fell off. And he never really picked up steam there. He's actually having a really nice year. And the only reason I know and follow him is I got a ton of his autographed cards sitting in a box that I thought were going to be absolutely worthless. That might actually be worth something now. So I'm kind of happy about that. Hey, I want to ask you real quick, because I'm going to ask David Ardsma this. Midseason, MVP right now in the AL, who you got?
In the AL,
it's got to be Judge.
It's got to be Judge.
Right now, it's Judge. Don't overthink it. It's
Gunner.
Judge.
Gunner. You're right. I'm not going to overthink it. It's Gunner.
All right. AL Cy Young, you going with Skubal?
Yeah, not close.
Some might say Corbin Burns. I'll go with you and say Skubal.
And Corbin Burns would only win it because he's on a better team.
AL Manager of the Year, who would you go with?
Oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking
Cleveland,
on his name.
Vogt?
Yes, David, yeah. Stephen Vogt. Yeah. Thank you, Stephen Vogt. I was going to say Guardians, and then I was like,
I'll go Shohei. I think we'd agree on Shohei and the National League for MVP, Skeens for Rookie of the Year. I don't know.
Skeens for Cy Young, too, Jason. Yeah, you forgot that one.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think he's going to get enough innings. It'll be interesting to see. David Ardsma joins us next.
When you're a parent, you're always driving, everywhere, all the time, to practice, to games, to practice. Did I say that twice? Because I definitely did that twice today. And then the other half of your job is to wait. Which is when I have the time to call Car Shield. I'm putting on so many miles driving the kids around, it's not a matter of if, but when my car will break down. And when it does, I can't afford the money or the time it normally takes to get my car fixed. The plan I got through CarShield helps pay for expensive repairs on up to 6,000 parts of my car, including vital parts and systems like my engine, transmission, electronics, AC, or, in the dead of winter, my heater. That saves me a ton of money for things like sports equipment, lessons, and gas. Did I mention driving to practice? Bottom line, calling CarShield is a must in my house. The price I locked in with CarShield is the price I'll pay for as long as I cover my car, which says a lot in this world where everything seems to be going up in price.
If you're driving an out-of-warranty car, it's not a matter of if it'll break down, it's when. So you need to call CarShield before it does. Nobody should have to decide whether they should put food on the table or pay for a car repair. It's nice to find a company like CarShield that actually cares about their customers.
And every plan through CarShield includes 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, battery help, and more. They say practice makes perfect, and with CarShield on my side, I've got one less thing to worry about when it comes to paying for out-of-warranty car repairs. Call CarShield before your car breaks down so you don't miss a single game. Your kids will thank you.
It's not a matter of if your car will break down, but when. But you need to call CarShield before your car breaks down. CarShield gives you a price lock guarantee, which means your monthly price never goes up for as long as you cover your car. Get help paying for expensive repair bills by calling CarShield now. Call 800-689-5350. 800-689-5350. 800-689-5350.
Attention families with a loved one in a nursing home. If your loved one has suffered from bed sores, falls, broken bones, dehydration, or even death, you may be entitled to a substantial settlement. If you have a loved one who was injured in a nursing home, we will find out what happened. State violations are found against nursing homes every day. You have a limited time to file your claim, so don't wait. Call 800-398-5999 and speak with one of our attorneys. The call is confidential and free.
Sports Wrap continues on a Tuesday. All-Star Game Tuesday night. I figured it was as good a day as any to bring in our friend David Ardsma, who does a terrific job. MLB Network Radio, former Major League Baseball pitcher. Fresh off a vacation. He's feeling good. He's feeling relaxed. Look at that smile.
Feeling great.
That is an award-winning smile right there. I'm not even going to bother asking you about a home run derby, since the last home run you probably hit was probably in a video game, huh?
Yeah. I think there's plenty of home runs hit off of me in video games.
Fair enough. Let me get your thoughts, David, on this first half. I want to do first half and second half. Award winners, David Ardsma style. Let's start in the American League. First of all, before we get into the award winners on the AL side, is there one particular team, thing, story, player that has surprised you in this first half?
You know, I want to say yes, but when you really look at the teams, you look how things have played out, no. In all honesty, no. The teams that we all thought would probably be leading divisions.
AL West, bit of a surprise.
Is it though? I mean, the three best teams are bunched up. I would say the Rangers might be the only real story there, is the Rangers falling off so strong, so heavily. But in today's day and age with the wild card, it's not that big of a deal. You know, the Rangers can still make up ground, can still get in that wild card there. Mariners playing great baseball, but they're a playoff team 2 years ago. Astros now playing great baseball, but they were, you know, in the ALCS every single year for the last decade and a half, whatever it is. And so, you know, if you look at the East, Orioles, Yankees, look in the Central, maybe the Guardians and their fast starters, a huge story, the Royals, huge story, but they're kind of falling back to the mean a little bit, and the Twins are playing decent baseball.
AL MVP right now, who is it?
It's got to be Aaron Judge. There's no doubt about it. It's got to be Aaron Judge. It's so easy to pick him. I know it's not even going out on a limb, but right now that first half, Aaron Judge, the only thing that might stop him for some random reason, and I don't know how or who else would win the award, would be Juan Soto. Because when Juan Soto's been down, that lineup looked completely different. When Judge was down, at least Juan Soto was still able to carry the team a little bit. But who else is going to take that award? It's going to be one of those two at this point. You know, Devers is having a great year. Don't want to knock him by any means. There's no real pitcher in the AL that's just so dominant that could take over the award over what these guys are doing. But it's Aaron Judge.
Cy Young Award in the AL. Is it Tarik Skubal or do you got somebody else?
Skubal is incredible. What he is doing is amazing. Pitching is so well for the Tigers.
There's a butt but for coming. Me, there's a butt coming.
It's the butt. It is the butt. Corbin Burns.
Wow. And
it's not necessarily that he's pitching better. It's what he is doing for that team and how he is carrying that team with how many pitching injuries they've had, how many issues they've had on that staff in general. And they keep trucking there in first place. I think they're the best team right now in the American League, even though their record is the same as the Guardians, one more loss. But it is Corbin Burns because to me, to be a true Cy Young winner, and those guys are both on the same level, you have to carry a team. You have to be a big difference maker for a team. When you're looking at Tigers who are below 500, you look at the Orioles who are just 20 games above 500, you got to give it to Burns.
Does it feel like the Tigers are turning a corner to you, though?
Absolutely. I think they're doing, they're building upon exactly kind of how the Diamondbacks did it a couple years ago. Slowly get better. You know, you win five more games every year, win 10 more games every year. Last year you saw it coming, but last year was interesting, was the offense was really taking over. You saw guys on that offense, Torkelson especially did a dominant job in that lineup. Now you're seeing though on that pitching side, some guys kind of step up, and they're still with Maeda is struggling. If he kind of figures it out, if he gets something going, this team could even be better.
Right now, Cy Young Award betting, just for people to know, on the futures, Scooble is minus 130 to win the Cy Young Award, Burns at plus 300, and then it drops off to Logan Gilbert, who is plus 1,000. AL Rookie of the Year. In the National League, I think we all know who it is. In the AL, I think some of us know who it is. Where are you going right now for AL Rookie of the Year and why?
For the first half with what he has done, Mason Miller. This guy's been so dominant. When he hit the scene at the beginning of the year, I don't know if I've ever seen something like that. You know, what we're talking about with, like, with, we're going to talk about him, Paul Skenes, you know, it's just what we're seeing, how dominant he is on as a starter. Mason Miller was even more dominant as a reliever. He had a little struggle there, you know, for a little bit, and now he's back to being incredibly dominant. I think the only thing that might ruin him in his AL Rookie of the Year campaign is he might not be in the AL for a whole lot longer. Who knows? He might still be there and win it just for have two jerseys on his back. Winning this award. But if you're the A's, I'm sorry, but I'm selling him so quickly. I'm selling high and then getting as many, guys as I can in return and let him enjoy that Rookie of the Year award.
But if you're talking about somebody who could be a generational, you know, sort of closer, if you believe that, don't you hang on to him? I mean, you know, because you're building for 3 years from now. Can't you see him being a part of it 3 years from now?
My only issue as a relievers, if there's anybody in baseball that are more up and down than any other position, I am not going to plan on 3 years from now Mason Miller being just as dominant as he is today. And for me, always spend that money. They get down to Vegas, I can spend that money and bring in a Mason Miller type of guy when they're ready and prepared for it. For now, get the players in return. They're not ready to win now. It's going to take 3 more years, and at that point, go get them.
Real quick, if you're a team, then, are you really splurging and giving up that much to get somebody like him, knowing that the closer spot is so volatile?
Knowing that I'm not planning out for 3 years in advance and it's the next 2 years, this year really in particular, absolutely. Okay. He's so powerful, so dominant. I'm making a run for him.
All right, I got 30 seconds here. Manager of the Year in the American League is?
Boy, there's no doubt. The Guardians. I mean, what he's doing there, how he turned that franchise around from kind of they were struggling last year. Tito leaving, he's the man.
All right. We'll get into the – by the way, I don't think anybody's scared of playing the Guardians in the playoffs. We all know how this story ends. It's a nice regular season story. It's great for 162, but we all know how the story ends. You know, it's like Titanic. You know how the movie ends. It's a great movie for 3 hours, but you know how it ends. We're hanging out with our man David Artsma, talking some baseball with him here at the All-Star break. All right, so we got his AL Award winners. Couple of surprises in there, I'm not going to lie. I want to see what he has to say about the National League. In particular, the possibility of a Rookie of the Year being the Cy Young Award winner. We'll get to it next on Sports Wrap. Let's take it to segment 3 on this Tuesday edition of Sports Wrap. Good to be hanging out with all of you. Kurt Heelan, pro basketball talk at NBCSports.com. He'll join us at about 10. Maria Ho, poker pro, World Series of Poker commentator for CBS Sports and Poker Go, will join us as well in about 20. Get her thoughts on the final table, which gets underway tonight. The final 9 of that event should be a 2-night event, unless something crazy happens. That's what it will be. Let's bring in our man, David Artsma, who's hanging out with us, giving us his mid-season award. You ever play much poker? You ever play any poker, David?
I'm not going to play with a poker pro, I'll tell you that much. I love poker, though. I love playing with my friends. To me, gambling is you play with your friends and have a great time.
Poker's not gambling. Poker is not gambling. Poker is a game of skill. That's why I it's a thorny subject for me.
Yeah, let's rile this up.
Poker is a game of skill. There's a reason why there are the same players always at final tables of tournaments and not just because it is a game of skill. Yes, there is variance. And yes, the cards could sometimes screw you. You know, you can lose as a 98% favorite, but that can happen. I mean, it's just that's the nature of it. But it's not gambling. It's a game of skill. Blackjack is gambling. Craps is gambling. Poker, not gambling. All right.
So to remind myself and everyone out there, don't go play poker with Jason.
No, because if I'm playing, I'm playing to take all your money. I'll tell you right now, I am not the guy you want in your friendly garage poker game. I am not the guy you want. The guy you do want right now is Paul Skeens, which we'll get to in a second. But let me go systematically through this here in the National League. Start with MVP in the National League right now. Where are you going?
I mean, it's Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani, what he's doing right now is incredible. The way he's playing baseball, he's doing everything we're expecting, which is so scary at this point. He's becoming Trout, where it's becoming normal. You're so normalized on these numbers that are obscene. The thing that may stop him is Betts, Freeman, Teoscar taking votes. Just a little vote here, a little vote there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, if the Braves make a run, if the Phillies keep doing what they're doing, you're going to look at Bryce Harper, Ozuna on the top. Ozuna could very easily win this thing because he's the only one we're talking about with Atlanta. Bryce Harper, he's the only one we're talking about with Philly. They could very easily win this thing only because those other players are so good, they're taking away votes from Ohtani.
I think voters are so cognizant of the idea of other players taking votes that I think that's less of an, I think, could be wrong. I think it's less of an issue now than it probably was, you know, maybe 5 years, 6 years ago. I think voters are so cognizant of that they're not going to let an Ohtani lose because, you know, they decide to give a vote to Freddie Freeman or Mookie Betts or something like that. And obviously in the case of Betts with
being makes hurt, sense.
It's probably
makes sense. It does hurt, though, on the idea that MVP, Ozuna and Harper very easily could be more deserving, even though Ohtani's stats are better.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. By the way, we mentioned before the AL MVP, and you mentioned Judge. He is minus 370 right now to be your MVP. Gunnar Henderson at plus 310 is the next closest. So you're talking a huge difference. And in the National League, it's basically the same thing. Ohtani is plus 380. To win the minus 380 to win the MVP, and Bryce Harper is plus 410. So almost a $7 difference. Wow. I mean it's staggering the favorites that both of them are. It feels like it's a foregone conclusion when it comes to MVP in both leagues. All right, Cy Young Award. Can you make an argument for Paul Skeens?
The argument for Paul Skeens is going to start and end with the idea of he's going to start missing starts. They're going to start extending those in between those starts. He's going to end up with not having enough real opportunities to take this away from a Ronaldo Lopez, a Chris Sale, Zach Wheeler. That's the problem. You know, even Ranger Suarez, if he's full healthy in the second half, all of these guys very easily, Aaron Nola. I mean, it's scary that these are basically all pitchers on the same two teams, but those guys are so dominant that they're going to have to all fall and all falter off for Paul Skeens because there's nothing Paul Skeens can do that's so much better than these guys.
Well, right? What's amazing right now is Skeens is third in terms of odds. Chris Sale plus 125, Zach Wheeler plus 165, Skeens at plus 500. And I've asked you this question before. If you are the Pirates and you've got a chance to make the playoffs, they're only a few games out right now of a wild card spot. Are you trying to figure out a way to have him for the entire season, even if that does mean six-man rotation, stretch him out, shorter starts, whatever it may be, if it's the difference between making the postseason for a team that has – you know, is desperate to make the postseason.
Yeah. I think you absolutely do it no matter what. No matter what the situation is, in the playoffs, out of the playoffs, you try to figure them out how to get to 162 so these guys can do it year after year. That's the thing. They have to do it every single year. Let's get him to that place where he's comfortable pitching into late September, that October cutoff.
Has to be rookie of the year then, right?
Right now, absolutely. He's running away with it. He had so much energy coming into it that's how rookie of the year voting tends to work, is that energy, that excitement about a player. Even if they're not the best player rookie of the year, when they have that energy, they're going to run away with it, as long as he's healthy at the end.
It's just crazy. There's nobody even close. He's at minus 1,100 right now, meaning for people at home, you'd have to wager $1,100 just to win 100 on Paul Skeens right now. And by the way, that's a very risky bet for this reason. Guys get, you pull, an oblique injury, you're missing a month, and all of a sudden your rookie of the year dreams go out the window with it. Jackson Merrill, by the way, is plus 550, and then Imanaga is plus 2,600 if you're talking about National League rookie of the year. Manager of the year in the National League, going this Pat one, Murphy, Rob Thompson.
Pat Murphy, it's great, you know, wonderful manager, doing great stuff there, but really, is there any difference than what we saw before? I think he's doing great as a rookie manager and should be in contention, should be number two on this list with Rob Thompson, in a tough NL East, just running away with it right now. He is the manager of the first half without a doubt. Putting together a great team, even though dealing with a lot of injuries and a lot of injuries different times, and they're able to pull through with this. Rob Thompson, it's him right now, and then a long gap, and then you're looking at Pat Murphy.
That is David Ardsmill, ladies and gentlemen. Catch him on MLB Radio, Sirius XM, hanging out with us on the show. It's good to have you. It's good to have you back in the fold. I've missed you.
It's nice. It's nice to be here. Like you said, getting a little grayer, so my knowledge is getting stronger.
It's like Gandalf. We're coming back. More Sports Wrap. Kurt Heelan will join us on the other side. Thanks, David. Good to have you with us on a Tuesday edition of Sports Wrap, where we are talking basketball. Before he goes away on vacation and never comes back.
Let's hope I come back.
Kurt Heelan. Kurt Heelan, pro basketball talk at NBCSports.com, joins us. Fresh off a two-week residency in Vegas. Everybody's got a residency. Why not you?
It's me and you too. I was hanging with Bono. You know how it is.
Did you come back with any new tattoos?
No, not that you can see. No.
You strike me as a tramp stamp type. I could see it. I could see it. Let's talk some hoops. And before we get to the NBA and the juicy stuff there, are people just looking for something to be concerned about when it comes to this, with Team USA, or is there real reason to be concerned about the defense, seeing what they gave up against Australia?
First off, Australia won the bronze, remember, in Tokyo. This is not a bad team, right? Their concerns, because they're still figuring stuff out. They're still clearly trying to figure out how Joel Embiid fits in all this. Anthony Davis has been, frankly, the best player, let alone the best center on this roster for a couple of games. And he pairs, it's not smooth yet, but he and Bam form quite a unit. They're just still trying to figure things out, but there is some reason for concern. Josh Giddey got inside, found Jock Landale, like two NBA guys, carved them up a little inside during this game. U.S. led by 20, took their foot off the gas. We can let some of this slide a little, but...
I mean, Anthony Davis is playing like 17, 18 minutes. I can't worry when... We're not full throttle on this thing yet. So it's hard for me to take seriously the idea that we should be concerned.
No, it's too early to be concerned. And also, by the way, you're adding Kevin Durant at some point. It doesn't get worse. You're going to slide somebody out of that starting lineup to put Kevin Durant in, and suddenly you're even more dangerous.
But the expectations are high, and obviously people are going to, people are going to nitpick, and I don't know if there's any more pressure on anybody at the Olympics, maybe sans Simone Biles, than there is on this U.S. men's team, and maybe the women's team, but I don't think anybody's expecting any real trouble for the women's team. Let me see here. What are the futures? I'm just curious. USA is minus 480, by the way, to win gold.
And I think the difference, look, this is as talented a team as we've had since the Dream Team, but Steve Kerr has said it a million times, and he's not wrong.
This isn't 1992 with the rest of the world. There are literally teams that can push this U.S. team out there. And I think I'm not sure what the casual American fan that has really caught up yet that, hey, the rest of the world's really good at this sport now.
Yeah, I agree. Kawhi Leonard, not part of this team. First, it was the story of, hey, we think, you know, it was supposedly the Clippers and Kawhi saying, oh, it was our decision and, you know, in concert with Team USA. Then it was Grant Hill coming out and saying, no, we sent him home. Now it's the Clippers coming back and saying, we're disappointed they sent him home. Well, what the hell is going on here?
USA drove this decision because, look, I watched the scrimmages. He wasn't moving great, right? And they wanted to get somebody in Derek White's case, who could help them, you know, sooner rather than later, not so much to help during the exhibitions, just to get him worked in. If Kawhi was going to game, there aren't enough games to load manage this, man. There's no slow playing into this. So the Clippers were certainly consulted, but this is what you do if you're the Clippers, right? You can quietly say, yeah, it'd be better for us if he's out. It'd be better for, like, you can say that quietly. And then when Kawhi's disappointed, you go, Kawhi, man, we wanted you to be there. We wanted, like, what you say publicly and what was said privately can be very different things here. Wink, wink.
It's fair. Still very interesting to see how it's all played out publicly. Does anything not play out publicly these days? I'm just thinking about it.
I don't think it does in the NBA much. It's unless you're... Unless
it's an argument at large, though. It's an argument at large. Nothing is in-house anymore. Everything is just... community barbecue, man. Everybody have some. Everybody come in. We're gonna give you some. James Dolan's given some. He is not happy with the new NBA media rights deal. And I'm sitting there going, "Why, James Dolan? Like, what is wrong?" And then I started to think about it as a former New Yorker, somebody who's from Connecticut, grew up on MSG, Yes Network, SNY, MSG Network being the oldest of the three, and sitting there going, oh, because while a lot of RSNs around the country, hello to all the RSNs carrying us, by the way, we love you guys, Masson, Root Sports and the like, Peachtree Sports Network, now I got to say them all, see? Anyway, Arizona Family Sports, we love you too. All these different regional sports networks that are out there, they're going to get crushed by this NBA media rights deal with all the exclusivity of these different games that the NBA is giving out. And James Dolan's saying, this is bad for us.
The Knicks are one of the handful of teams, along with the Lakers, the Warriors, Philly, Chicago, like a handful of bigger markets that do well with RSNs, that have RSN deals locked in place that make them a lot of money. Most teams, especially with the... what was it? It was Bally's and it was Diamond, whatever, you know, the former Fox Sportses of the world going back. They're all getting crushed. And this deal is more about them. This is a, from Dolan's perspective, he's spot on. Like, this is not good for his business, but I don't think most of the other owners see it that way. They'd rather go with this more NFL model that bothers him, where the games are centrally controlled and everything's, you know, every game is on, way more games now because of NBC and streaming on Peacock and Amazon streaming games. A lot more is just going to be available online that you don't have to go to your RSN to watch. And if you make money on your RSN, that's bad for you.
I'm going to say this real quick because we only got 20 seconds. NBC Sports will be fine because they're going to put games on broadcast and all that. I still question how many people are flocking over to Prime Video to watch games. That's all I'm going to say. And I question how many people are going to buy it. With load management, not knowing who's going to play, it's a big question mark. Another topic for another day. Kurt Heelen, enjoy your vacation, sir. We'll see you when you get back.
If I come back, I'll talk to you then.
Sports Wrap continues on this Tuesday. I am lucky to be joined on our show today. I had to work hard to make this happen. The great Maria Ho. Poker pro Maria Ho. And I laugh when I say that because I watch Poker Go quite a bit. And I always see the StormX commercials and it's Poker pro Maria Ho. Every time. I love that they're probably paying you $1 zillion for that. But my God, I see that commercial all the time. It always makes it. Oh, every time I watch a broadcast of anything, it's on there. She does a terrific job. World Series of Poker with my man, Lon McCarron. and Norman Chad, part of the, you know, I got to ask you just to start real quick. What's it like working with those two? Because I know Lon well, and I've interviewed Norman a few times. But what's it like working with those two and being in the middle of that?
I mean, it's a little surreal in some ways because I grew up, you know, came up in the game of poker, watching and listening to them two on the broadcast. But, you know, they have such great chemistry and they have such a rapport. And, you know, Lon and Norm are so funny together that when I first got, you know, became the trio, I didn't want to get in the way of that chemistry that they already have. Like, I hope that I am a good addition to something that's already really amazing. And I love Lon and Norm. I love working with them. They're super funny. Even like when the cameras are off, even when we're not, you know, on air, they still very much personify everything that you see or hear about them or think about them. So yeah, they're great.
All right, let's talk about this final table. I was so mad that Kristen Foxen didn't make it because I'm dying to see a woman win this main event. She obviously made a deep run, made a very special run. Before I get to the final group, this final nine, what is it going to take? And I know this is a tough question to answer. What is it going to take to get a woman that walks away with the main event bracelet? In your mind, what kind of player is it going to have to be?
I mean, I would actually just start with the sheer number of women participants, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like that number definitely needs to go up because obviously if we only represent 3% of the field, then statistically speaking, it's going to be pretty tough to get one of us at the final table, let alone win the whole thing, right? So it starts there, but the type of player that it takes is obviously going to be one that is skilled, knows how to maneuver these types of big fields. I mean, I think the reason why, you know, the whole community pinned a lot of their hopes on Kristen this year, not just because she was a woman, but because she is a highly skilled professional poker player. We have seen other women make deep runs in past years, but they weren't of the caliber and skill level of somebody like Kristen. So, you know, it was kind of like in the modern era, in terms of deep runs, she was our best shot, right?
Talk to me about this final table. I mean, it's easy to sit there and say who stands out. Well, Jordan Griff, he's got 143 million chips and 90 big blinds. But is there somebody further down the trough or in the middle of the pack that you think we should be watching for?
Yeah, I mean, it's too easy to pick the chip leader. I'm not going to pick the chip leader. I feel like the two best players at the table, in my opinion, is definitely Nicholas Ostedt and Brian Kim. I feel like if anybody, you know, knows anything about Nicholas, they would know that he is the best online poker player in the world. He has, I think, over 40 million in cashes online, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't know how to tackle the live arena. He is just somebody that I think is going to be able to pick his spots well, but also he's seen so many hands, he's played so many hands that I feel like there's not going to be a situation that he's going to be uncomfortable in. And that's really important when we're playing for this much money. And as far as Brian Kim goes, he's a long time grinder, plays a lot of cash games, plays a lot of high stakes cash games, but then transitioned into tournaments and in high roller tournaments. So again, you have to, you know, I want to pick someone who I feel like is not going to be overwhelmed by the moment and overwhelmed by the amount of money that they're playing for. They're still going to be able to make the right decisions, even if, you know, it was for a dollar or for $10 million.
If you're Mello Latinois, if you're Andres Gonzalez, obviously these super short stacks, 11 big blinds in the case of Gonzalez, 16 in the case of Latinois. Are you just looking for your shot early on and jamming?
I mean, it depends on what strategy they want to take into the final table, right? Nowadays, ICM, independent chip model, really important in terms of how you want to approach certain different stack sizes at a final table. So, you know, if you're not at the very bottom, then you kind of want to wait the person who is at the bottom out and you want to try to ladder and make that pay jump. But if you are at the very, very bottom, then you have the least to lose, right? So you will probably be willing to get it all in with something that's less than premium because you want to maintain your fold equity. The most important part is that when you go all in, you don't want somebody to be priced in to call you with any two, right? You want to have enough in your chip stack so that you can still get some folds, pick up some blinds, and continue to wait for a better hand. So yeah, I think we'll see. I think at the moment, the pay jumps are really important. If you look at all of their, if you look at their resume, if you look at how much they've cashed for in the past, this is most of their largest cash ever. So because of that, I do think we will see a little bit of conservative play in the beginning, but it might open up. You never know. They had one day off, so maybe that night of sleep, they're like, hey, I've already made it this far, so why don't we just go for the win? You know, forget about the ladder. We'll see.
Maria Ho, I am looking forward to watching on Poker Go, CBS Sports, the World Series of Poker, main event final table with yourself, La McCarron, and Norman Chad. Thank you so much. I hope we get to meet up in person sometime in Vegas. Always appreciate it.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
We're coming back. More Sports Wrap on this Tuesday. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday edition of the show. Five worst cities in sports. Tomorrow, we're taking Wednesday and Thursday off from the usual show. Two slowest sports days of the year ahead. And then on Friday, we will be back. We'll have a recap of the first round of the Open Championship. And who knows, we'll probably be able to recap a lot of the second round too, given how early they start over there. So we'll get you all set up for the weekend as well. Podcast, if you miss anything from the show, go and subscribe to the podcast. It's available on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and more. Without any further delay, time for some odds. An end. Odds and ends, Sam Yarnell. Tiger Woods thinks he has a chance to win the Open Championship. What do you know? More interestingly was his clapback at Colin Montgomery, who, if people might have missed it, Montgomery said last week that Woods should retire before playing Royal Troon. It's time to walk away. He's devastating his legacy, destroying his legacy, not able to compete, blah, 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 blah. Tiger had the best response ever to this. Tiger said, I have an exemption until I'm 60. Colin does not. Mic drop. Now Colin Montgomery, of course, is coming out and saying, oh, the media took me out of context. Sounds like I sounded like a certain politician. I don't want to say his name. They took me out of context, Montgomery said. No, they didn't. You just got caught. So Tiger, the Open Championship this week at Royal Troon. Your odds on favorite to win is Scotty Scheffler at +450. Rory comes in next at 850, which tells you a great deal about the gap they feel there is between those two, at least before the start of this tournament. Hold on, I'm scrolling. This is not doom scrolling, but I am scrolling to see how far down I have to go to find. Oh, there's Tiger. +27,000 for Tiger to win the Open Championship. Sprinkle, sprinkle? Sam, sprinkle, sprinkle?
No, but I actually do have a Tiger bet. Okay. And yeah, Jason's jaw is about to hit the floor. I am playing Tiger Woods to make the cut in this tournament at +230. I think of all the chances he's had in a major, this is his best one. And I think that there is, just from things that I've heard from people in the golf world and things that you read, I think there's a general sense with Tiger that he's got to prove it to himself at this major if he really wants to have a chance to compete at all four next year. And he's really got to prove it to a couple of other people at this major that he should still be playing at the level at which we are letting him. I think Tiger Woods comes out and makes a statement at least in the first round and can propel himself through the second day enough to make the cut. His golf game favors this course a lot. It favors this style of golf a lot. I think Tiger has some success here. I'm going to play him to make the cut at just better than 2-1. And just because I can't make Jason happy with every single one of my bets, and I have to make a bet that will upset Jason, we're going to sprinkle on Rory McIlroy to miss the cut at plus 470.
Yeah, Rory was in contention, played well at the Genesis. I think he's going to be fine. I think he will certainly be in the mix. I would not bet Scottie Scheffler to win this event. I absolutely wouldn't. I think the weather is going to wreak havoc on this thing. I would not be shocked if a relative no-name wins this thing this week, because I think the weather is going to be a big factor. And you know me, I'm as big a Tiger sycophant as there is, and I'll own it. I don't care. I love greatness. I'll always embrace greatness. I was embracing myself. So anyway, I'll always embrace greatness. I think he's going to struggle to make the cut here because of the weather. And what that means, the dampness. I think it's going to be a struggle for him. I'll always bet Tiger to make the cut because it's a better story when he does. But I think the weather's going to be an issue for him. The one thing he said yesterday, by the way, real quick, that I think is encouraging, and I think he's setting people up for the fact that he plans to make another hard charge at this thing next year, as in the majors and maybe playing a couple of more events. He says he's able to do more things physically now than he was able to do, you know, a year or 2 years ago. So maybe he's finding a workaround. Maybe he's finding a way to make it work. We'll see. Last but not least, my old buddy Colin Cowherd talking to Derek Jeter prior to the All-Star game on Monday. Colin, do your homework.
The Paul Skeens, Pittsburgh Pirates, dominant guy, overpowering. You faced, obviously, you were in the Nolan Ryan era.
No, not even an inning. Slow down. No, I was way after Nolan. Okay. Way after
Nolan. Okay. I'm trying.
When you make a lot of money and you can just mail it in, it just blows my mind. And if I'm going to crush Stephen A. Smith, I got to crush my man Colin. And we are equal opportunity crushers here. Two years before, by the way. Nolan Ryan retired 2 years before Jeter got into the league.
If Derek Jeter ever had to face Nolan Ryan in any of the, five league championship series he won, the guy would not be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, come on. It's as easy as that. I'll bet. Colin, I know you got 700 producers over there helping you. One of them could have told you this. One of them. I'd be blaming my producers. I'd be like, how did you guys let me die like that? It's never fun watching a grown man die on TV. But we just did. Thanks to all of our guests. We'll see you back here on Friday.